Screen as best we can tonight as well. But Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 12 through 18 tonight. Hopefully this will be good practice for you guys going back to school, because you got to be quiet and listen for a little bit. And all the teachers said amen. But what I have to share with you tonight, I hope will be a blessing and a help to you. You spend a lot of time during the summer at home with your family, and you don't get to go out much, and you're not around much. But when you get back to school, you get out every day. Some of you are involved with a lot of extracurricular activities, and you go places, do things, you're around people and the influences that are around you. But I want to challenge you guys tonight from the Word of God that you wouldn't be influenced by the world, but that you would be an influence on the world. Amen. That you would shine as lights in the world. Because all around you, the world is full of darkness. The truth of the Word of God is that there are many people that you're going to go to school with starting tomorrow. Some of you are already back in school, but you're going to be going to school with people who are in darkness, and they walk in darkness, and they basically spread darkness around. But you can have a great impact on your classmates. You're going to go to school with people who don't believe in God. You're going to go to school with people who are lost. And if they die in their lost condition, they will end up in hell. And you can be the difference in their life. You can shine the light of the gospel in their life. God can use you to bring your friends to Christ. God can use you to bring your teachers to Christ. God can use you to make a great impact. And we got several school teachers here tonight. And I just want to challenge our teachers that are here that you stand for Christ. And that you shine the light of the gospel no matter what the ACLU or anybody else says, that you pour the Word of God into your students' lives. And they can tell you that you can't do that, but it's still free in America to do that. And you don't have to make it part of your curriculum, but in your free time, you can say whatever you want to. And if people have the right to promote all kinds of wickedness and sin, and they have the freedom to do that, we certainly have the freedom to pour the truth into people. And so, and we want to speak the truth of love. We want to make a difference in the world. But it comes from working things out in the way that God is working in us and living the life that God has called us to. So Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 12 with me, please. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help me to preach your word as you'd have me to tonight. Pray your Holy Spirit would have free reign in our hearts tonight, that you would take away every distraction, every stray thought, and that for the next few minutes, you just help us to focus on your holy word. I pray you'd stir something up in our spirits to just rejoice in what you've given us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that you'd help us to walk in the newness of life that you've given all those who repent and trust Jesus. I pray if there's anyone here who is unsaved, they've reached that age of accountability, and they know in their heart if they died without Christ, they'd spend eternity in hell. Lord, I pray that that person tonight would understand their condemnation and their unbelief tonight, and that they would repent, turn away from their sin and unbelief and turn to you, and that they would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart in his death, burial, and resurrection. I pray that souls would be saved, to be baptized, and those that are in the church would serve you with all their heart. Help all of us, Lord, to go from this place tonight, shining as lights in the world. for your honor, for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now, Paul was absent because Paul was in prison. He was writing to the church at Philippi, and he's commending them to God. He's saying, listen, you've been obedient. When I came and preached the word of God, you obeyed it. You repented and you trusted Christ. And as I've admonished you and encouraged you through the word of God, you've been obedient to that. And Philippi was an incredible place. And the things that God did there is as they went there preaching the word, and Lydia, the seller of purple, was saved. And they started worshiping at her house and preaching the gospel. And they got arrested. And while they were in prison, they at midnight, they prayed and sang praises to God. And God shook that place. You remember the jailer got saved, and everybody in his house got saved and baptized. And Philippi was an awesome place, how God worked there. And now Paul's writing back to them, and he's encouraging them. He says, listen, when you heard the word of God, you obeyed it. And I want you to, even more now that I'm gone, serve God and obey the word of the Lord. And he's admonishing them. And guys, there's a great principle for us. You need to do what's right according to the word of God when you're at church, and when you're at home, and when you're at school, and when your mom and dad are watching, and when nobody's watching. Because God is always watching. And so it's not just about when the preacher can see you, or your Sunday school teacher can see you, or when mom and dad can see you, or grandma and grandpa can see you, or the teacher can see you. It's all the time. Do what God wants you to do. Be obedient to the word of God. And then he gets into it. And we're going to learn tonight about a few things. First of all, we're going to learn about sanctification. We're going to learn about cooperation. And we're going to learn about illumination. So first of all, sanctification. He says, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. And I want you guys to listen carefully, because this is very important. The word of God teaches us very plainly that we are not saved by our works, but we work because we are saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of works, it is the gift of God. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he has saved us. It's not by works that we're saved. But then he goes on in Ephesians 2 and verse 10 and he says, but we are ordained to good works. In other words, he says we are created unto good works. And so we need to understand tonight that we don't work so that we can get saved, but we work because we are saved. And so when you repent and trust Jesus Christ, you ought to start living for Jesus Christ. But you're not going to start trying to live for God and somehow do enough good works that God's going to save you. That's not the way it works. And so here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he doesn't say work for your salvation, but he says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what he means is to work because you're saved. He's saying you've been saved, now work. It's the same thing that James preached. Faith without works is dead, being alone. If you have truly trusted Jesus, then you'll live for Jesus. And you guys need to hear this, because you'll see a lot of people in your life that go to church. They show up on Sunday, they sing, they have an awesome worship experience, and then they live the rest of the week for themselves. They live in sin, they live for the flesh, and they live for the world, and they live for the devil, and then they come back on Sunday and they have another worship experience. And you're going to see that in your life, and you're going to say, well, that's not right, that's not good, and if that's what Christianity's about, I don't want to have any part of it. And you know what? That's not what Christianity is about. Amen. And don't you let those hypocrites keep you from serving Jesus. Amen. You live for Christ and work out your salvation. In other words, you've been saved, now live like you're saved. Amen. And don't let people who don't live like they're saved keep you from living like you're saved. Because if you've trusted Christ, you have eternal life, your sins are forgiven, and you ought to live for him with all your heart. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, he says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. And he's talking about people who almost got saved. They kind of acted like they were saved for a little bit, but they went away from God. And he says, those people, they're thorns and they're going to be burned up. But But if you've been truly planted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll bear fruit for his honor and glory. But he says, don't be like those that are going to be burned up. Don't be like those fake Christians. Be real. Amen. Be real. He says, we're persuaded better things and things that accompany salvation. And salvation is the miracle of a moment. The moment you pray and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be your Savior, he gives you eternal life in a moment. Amen. Man, some of you can remember that. Amen. Even some of you that are old and senile can't remember nothing else. I'm sorry, Brother Bill. I did not mean to look at you when I said that. I'm telling you, when you get to the place where you can't remember nothing else, some of you can still remember the moment you trusted Christ. You can remember when you cried out to him. You knew you were going to hell. You knew that there was no way you were going to get to heaven, and you just cried out to Jesus. You asked him to save you. You remember that weight that was lifted off of you. I talked to a man today. He talked about the moment he got on his knees and asked Jesus to be a Savior. He said, I weighed 260 pounds. I felt like I weighed 100 pounds that night. That's pretty good. Wouldn't it be nice if you could do that, really? But that's that burden that's lifted when you get saved. And he says, work out your salvation. It's what we're talking about, friends, is sanctification. One guy said it like this. He says, employ yourselves in things which accompany salvation, and to be performed by all those that expect it, though not to be expected for the performance of them. In other words, you expect to go to heaven because you've trusted Jesus, and you ought to live that. You ought to live that Christian life. But you understand you're not going to get to heaven because of what you've done. It's not about your performance of those things, but you ought to do those things because of what he's given you. It's the free gift. And notice that he says to do it with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Not that you're afraid you'll go to hell if you don't live right, but just the fear of God. Like he says in Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Listen, our God is an awesome, powerful, incredible God. Creator of heaven and earth. He sends out thunders and lightnings, and the waves and the seas obey his command. He is an awesome and a powerful God, and we ought to serve him with fear, and we ought to rejoice with trembling. Listen, I see people come, and they have these worship experiences, and it's a lot of emotionalism and things like that. One pastor called it worshiptainment. I think that's pretty good. I want to tell you something. We come before God. It's not for entertainment. It's not for a show. It's not for an emotional spectacle. We ought to rejoice before God with trembling. Amen. He's God. Amen. He's God. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And even when you're saved, you ought to fear God. Amen. Not that he'll cast you aside, but we ought to fear his chastisement. We ought to fear before him that we want to please him. With fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And listen, when you got saved, God began a good work in you. And God will perform that work till the day of Christ. Amen. All the way till the day of redemption. You're not going to save yourself. You're not going to keep yourself saved. But he is working in you, and you ought to work for him because of what he's done in you. That's sanctification, friends, when you put off the old man and put on the new man, and you strive to live for Christ. Now let's talk real quick about cooperation. He goes on to say in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do all things without murmurings or disputings. Murmuring is grumbling. It's grudging. Disputing is debate or arguing. And God didn't plan on us to do this work of living for Christ. This work of sanctification was never intended for us to do alone. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But he's also brought us together in the church so that we can work together. And he wants us to do that work without murmurings, and he wants us to do it without disputings. And I'm glad today that we live in a world where people don't have any trouble with this, because none of you ever grumble or complain. Hold on, I'm confused. I think I got that backwards. I think maybe all any of us ever do is grumble and complain. You know, it's funny, we sit in the church and most of you have been living a sanctified life for a while, and God has given you grace to overcome a lot of sins that you used to struggle with, and you get to a place where you feel like you're doing pretty good, but you know, God has harsh things to say about murmuring. He has as harsh things to say about murmuring and complaining and disputing as he does about drunkenness and fornication and all the rest of it. And you think, well, I'm not a drunkard or a fornicator anymore, but you know what? God's not pleased with you if you're a murmurer or a complainer or a disputer either. We need to realize tonight that God wants to change us, and you might be better than you were, but you're not all that he wants you to be. So we've got still need sanctification. We still need to put some things off and to put some things on. And the reality is, when you are upset with somebody else and the way that they're living, ultimately your displeasure is aimed towards God. When the people in Egypt, when the Israelites left Egypt and they were in the wilderness, they murmured and complained against Moses. But you know what God said? He said that they were murmuring and complaining against God. Wait a minute, they weren't talking to God, they were talking to Moses. But Moses was God's man, and when they murmured and complained to him, they were murmuring and complaining about God. Why? Because everything that happened to them, God did it. Amen. You need to understand something tonight. Friends, God is sovereign, and if it's in your life, God has put it there. Amen. No, the devil did it. Well, guess what? God's got a leash on the devil, and the devil only gets as far as God lets him go. Amen. You hear me? I don't believe God would do bad things to my life. Well, you need to read your Bible. So when we complain or murmur, you know who we're complaining and murmuring against ultimately? God. We're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. And I want to help you out, friends. God knows what he's doing. Don't complain, don't murmur against others. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Why? Why do all these things without murmuring and complaining? Why do it without disputing? Why do it without arguing and strife and difficulty in the church? Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. The word blameless literally means to be without handles. In other words, when somebody makes an accusation against you, it won't stick. They can't pull you down with it. And when you start living for Christ, accusations will come. But we need to live a life so that those accusations don't stick. They don't have any merit. We need to live like we're sons of God, is what he's saying. And then he goes on to say, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I want to try to help you guys out with something tonight. The world that we live in today is crooked and it's perverse. You see, we're conditioned in our society, in our culture, to think all the things going on around us are normal and okay. But I want to tell you guys something tonight. The things that are of this world, that are not of God, they're not of faith, they're sin. Most of you guys, a lot of you guys, you see a lot of darkness, you see a lot of sin, you see a lot of wickedness on a regular basis. And if you're not careful, you'll be conditioned to think that's normal and it's okay, but it's not. When you turn on your television or your iPad or your whatever else you have, your Kindle, whatever tablet you have, your cell phones and all the rest of your stuff, and you watch videos, and you watch movies, and you listen to music, you're conditioned to believe that all that stuff's okay, but I'm here to tell you tonight that 99.9% of the stuff you watch and listen to, it's not okay. Amen. And you, some of you are old enough and you think, well, I can watch that stuff, it doesn't affect me. But you are dead wrong. You can't listen to that filth and have it not affect you. You can't watch those filthy movies with the nudity and the cursing and all the rest of it. You can't watch it and it not affect you. It's poisoning your spirit. You're going to get to school and you're going to get around some friends who talk about all the things they did over the weekend and the things that they watched over the weekend. And You're going to hear them cuss and hear them blaspheme the name of God and hear them talk about wrong lifestyles as if it's okay. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's not okay. The world around us without God, it's not okay. It's crooked and it's perverse. And God wants us to work together in cooperation. And he wants us to shine as lights in the world. He wants us to stand together in unity through Jesus Christ. He wants us to stand together on the truth of the Word of God. And he wants us to take the light of the gospel and he wants it to shine through our lives. Jesus said to his disciples, he said to his church, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so God wants us to shine the light of the gospel by the way that we live. He wants us to be different than the world. He wants us to listen to different music, and he wants us to stop watching filthy TVs and movie shows. He wants us to stop watching filthiness on our tablets and all the rest of that junk. He wants us to put away that stuff and be holy and separated and live a light life before the world. See, that comes to the illumination. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, and the world is wicked, and the world is sinful, and the world is perverted. But God wants us to shine light. I want you to listen to this real quick. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Silas, they go down to Cyprus, and it says, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season.' And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw that was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Now, Paul's trying to preach the gospel, and there's this sorcerer who's trying to stop him from preaching the gospel because Paul's about to preach the gospel to the deputy, to the ruler of that area. And he tries to stop him from preaching the gospel to him. And I want you to look at what Paul said to the guy. He didn't look at him and say, "Oh, no, that's not very nice. You're not being very tolerant." He looked at the man and said, "You child of the devil, you pervert the right ways of God." He said, you're perverted and you're crooked and you're wicked. And he said, "Get out of the way because I'm going to preach the truth of the Word of God." Amen. You know what happened? That guy went blind and he got out of the way. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because some of you are like me and Brother Brian, and if you could go around casting blindness on people, there wouldn't be many people around here left that could see. I mean, I'm telling you, those guys, when you go out and you're trying to knock doors and you're trying to share the gospel with somebody, and somebody over here is being a scorner and a mocker and a scoffer, and they're just being a distraction in the way. I mean, I'm just being honest tonight. I wish I could just look at them and say, "You child of the devil." And they just go blind for a little while. I know, you didn't think your pastor was like that, but I'm just being honest tonight. Be blind. Get out of the way. But I want to tell you, we can't do that. And I'm not saying I know because I've tried. We can't do that, but you know what we can do? When we preach the gospel, those guys shut up. Because spiritually, they are blind. And when you start trying to live for Jesus, and you start trying to tell your friends at school about Christ, and you start trying to share the gospel with people, there are going to be people who are be against you. And they're going to try to do everything they can to come between you and your friends hearing about Jesus. But you know what you need to do? Just keep preaching Jesus. You need to warn your friends that they're sinners. And if they die without Christ, they'll end up in hell. You need to share the wonderful truth with your friends that Jesus Christ paid for their sins on the cross. And you need to tell your friends the good news that Jesus died for them, was buried, and rose again. And if they'll repent of their sin and trust in Christ, they can have forgiveness of sin and eternal life. You need to tell your friends that. You need to tell your friends that faithfully. You need to tell your friends that regularly. You need to shine as light. You see, the world's full of darkness, but we shine the light. And how do we do that? Verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life. That's how we shine the light. We take the word of God, because you can't win your friends to Christ just by living a good life. You have to share the good news. I know some of you think it works this way, but I just want to help you out tonight. Because as good as some of you are, Ryan Barnes is almost like Mary Poppins. He's practically perfect in every way. Good raisin. Oh. Everybody look at Mary Poppins over here. Brother Ryan Barnes, about as good as they come, but I promise you this, no matter how good he's lived, nobody in his life has ever come up to him and said, I've been watching the way you live, and it's amazing. I mean, I just want what you have. And nobody's ever come to him and fallen down on their knees and said, what must I do to be saved? Just by watching him. Not even watching him play basketball, which from his stories was unbelievable. And I do mean unbelievable. You see, it's not just by living the good life and doing the good works and doing the good deeds. It's not just that. We have to verbally share the good news. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what Brother Ryan does? He tries to live that good life, and he's not really completely perfect. Just really close, right, Talisa? But you know what he does? He preaches the gospel to people. You know, he's not even a pastor, not even a preacher. But everywhere he goes, he preaches the gospel to other people. Because that's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Holding forth the word of life. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, I want you to look at the last couple of verses here. Holding forth the word of life, verse 16, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. You know what he was saying? If I die because I've preached the gospel to you, I rejoice. Because if you believe, you have eternal life. And you know what? You ought to rejoice the same reason I'm rejoicing, because you have eternal life. We rejoice because of the word of life. And listen to me tonight. Some of you are old enough to understand this truth. Some of you are old enough to realize that you need to be saved. And if you've never repented of your sin and your unbelief, you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, I want to plead with you tonight that you get saved. If you think, I need to get saved, I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not, you can come up here and talk to me. You can go find your teacher that's sitting right there close to you. Go find them and say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I need to talk to somebody. But if you're not 100% sure you have eternal life, you need to trust Christ tonight. And for those of you that are saved, I challenge you. Go from here tonight to shine as lights in the world. Shine the light of Jesus Christ. Live the real Christian life. Don't be a hypocrite. Be real. Let's stand together very quietly. Guys, this is the invitation time. It's a very serious time. It's not time to play and cut up and laugh with your friends. It's time to pay attention. If God's convicting your heart tonight, you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus. You come. And for all of you adults who found a young person to pray for this school year, would you take advantage of this opportunity right now and start praying for them even now during this invitation? Let's sing what number? Number 540. Decision you need to make for Christ tonight. You need to trust Him as your Savior. You need to ask Him to help you this school year. Whatever it is, would you come?